Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Okay, the topic today, Jonathan, is one where I think I'm just going to leave and just leave you in charge.
No, don't
you,
do that. Don't
and,
do that.
And you can introduce yourself and tell how wonderful you are and how much you know about this.
But you are the most technologically savvy 60-year-old person I've ever met.
I'm 59,
Close enough.
50. I'm 59. I mean, good gracious, it's the middle of March. Wait till July to make me 60 years old.
Close enough.
I know, it's close enough. And, you know, Santa,
I'm Baptist, I'm rounding up.
I don't know if I'm the best person to talk about how churches can use technology, but I do know this, churches need to use technology. Absolutely.
And, yeah, we're going to talk a lot about different ways, basically low-hanging fruit that almost any church can use for technology and how to reach their people and reach people for Christ.
Now, you have actually hit upon a good point, so I want to congratulate you. Your good point is this. Church leaders, pastor staff, and lay leaders who are listening to this podcast don't need to check out because we're talking about technology. This could apply to every single church.
Yes.
This could even apply to my small church, my first church, the church at Merle.
Yep. Well, I mean, you know, technology there consisted of turning on Jesus.
That's another story into itself, and for those who are just dropping in, you're probably confused, and we might try to explain that at some other point. But I do want the churches to know, church leaders to know, that almost everything that we're going to go over here can apply to any size church.
All right, number one is the obvious one, and that is a website. I say it's obvious.
Yeah, I say it's obvious. Here's the reality. It used to be that the first time anybody went to a church in any type of connection would be either the yellow pages or just walk in because you knew the facility.
Yep.
That is not so anymore. The first thing almost anybody does is go to your website. And if church leaders understood how many people will leave their church and never attend the first time, how many people they are losing because they go to the website and they cannot find the basic information, they would say, we're going to invest a few dollars and a few man hours into this because it's so critically important. You're talking about reaching people with the gospel. There will be many people who will never come to your church because you don't have basic information on your website or because your website looks like a mess. And, of course, you can tell us what some of the basic information you should have on your website.
Are you done ranting?
Yeah. I'm sorry if I ranted, but it's so evident that I just want to say, put the money into a website, a few hundred dollars a year at most.
It doesn't cost a lot.
It does not.
We've talked about this in the past. It does not cost a lot to have a good church website. And on that homepage, make sure you have the service times and the location. Because if people have to hunt for that, they're not going to show up.
If they have to go beyond one click on the homepage,
yeah,
they're not going to do it. So totally agree. And let's also say that what that website looks like, you may not think this is a critical issue. It may be like, how big is your parking lot? And people say, what's that got to do with a deep theology? Not a whole lot, but it has a lot to do with who comes to your church. And if your website looks like it's a mess, you're going to run people off. And you'll probably be running people off that need to know Christ, that need to know the gospel. So have a solid-looking, great-looking website. Invest the time and invest a small amount of money that's necessary.
And the next point is related to that, and it's social media. That's where the people are.
Okay, so here's a question I'm going to ask you. Let's reverse roles for just a moment.
All right.
One thing I don't understand, why do you have headphones and I don't?
Because I don't know.
I've never
only have one headphone jack.
I've always looked at you and I've wanted headphones and wondered why. This is Rainer on Leadership and I don't have headphones. So this is the question I'm going to ask you, since I kind of reverse roles. I wanted to have the headphones. Here's the question I'm going to ask you. I'm going to preface with this comment. There's so many different forms of social media. We could, like, I know your favorite is Pinterest.
No, that's wrong.
But
not on Pinterest.
There's Twitter. There's Facebook. All kinds of them. Where does the church begin?
It depends.
Oh, guys, that's my answer.
you totally reversed it on you there.
Yes.
It depends, honestly. I think for a church, either Facebook or Twitter, and if your pastor is already really heavily involved in Twitter, maybe that's the right way to go. If not, Facebook, I think, is a minimum. I would at least have a Facebook page, because Facebook pages, everybody's on Facebook. They've got the largest social network.
Largest number of people, right?
And it's the easiest way. Twitter, you're going to probably reach people a little bit better, more consistently because Facebook suppresses page views or the views of pages updates. So there's a little bit of difference there, but I would, one of those two got to be on at least.
I was talking to a church planner whose church is going to be launched this fall. Mm-hmm. And he was meeting with, doing a very cool thing. He's going to different churches in the area to tell them that, you know, he's going to be starting a church. Yeah. And make sure they're okay and just trying to win the favor of them. And he was at the largest church in the area, and they said, it is absolutely amazing. We're hearing people talk about your church that doesn't exist now. Mm. And the reason is he has a social media presence. Yeah. Even before he has a facility, mm-hmm. even before he has his first service. This is a church that does not exist.
Yeah.
Imagine what churches could do if they were really intentional mm-hmm. and serious about being on social media. You're right. That's where the people are.
Yeah.
That is one of the prime mission fields. And we are not being missiological. We're not being missional, to use another phrase,
yeah.
if we are not in the area of social media.
One other area that churches can use technology, and that is to find staff.
Yeah, this is another one that is beginning to grow in influence. The traditional means of matching staff or pastors with churches has been in some contexts and some polities to form a committee, resumes,
put an ad in the paper, put an ad magazine,
and then hope the right resumes come in, or have the informal network and hear about them. We have talked about how that's not always one of the most effective ways.
Yeah. Sometimes it's counterproductive.
It can be counterproductive in a number of ways, and we did talk about that too. One of our sponsors is Vanderbloom and Search Group. In fact, he's our only sponsor.
Yeah.
He's the sole sponsor for Rainer on Leadership for the podcast. And one of the reasons that that organization is doing so well these days is because they have learned how to match well candidates with the churches. Now, they do more than churches. They do other Christian organizations. And I am encouraging even smaller churches to look at those type of ministries, look at those type of services, because they know, they have the insight on how to match them together. And it's just a good way to use technology. It's a good way because they use technology to do the matching themselves. And it's a good way to find candidates for churches. I think this is going to become more pervasive in the future.
Yeah, there are plenty of websites out there that people can try to find jobs on. But if you've got somebody working for you, finding your person,
right,
it's always better.
They have your profile and they have the candidate's profile and they match them together.
The next way that churches can use technology is through just two different forms of communication. One is email, the other is mass texting.
Yeah. A month ago, we had something happen in this organization, Lifeway, that had never happened in the history of Lifeway since 1891.
We shut down for 2 days.
We shut down for 2 days. Ice storm just made it.
It was bad.
It really was bad. One of the things we had to do was to communicate to our employees because they're not used to us shutting down. In fact, a few still showed up.
You were still here, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm supposed to be here. I'm not
a little upset about that, I think, too.
I'm going to stay. I'm coming. I'm not going to stay home. We have a communication system. Part of the communication system was email, and the other one was texting.
Uh-huh.
Here's what we learned. We did not have enough people signed up for texting. If we'd been more intentional about it, we would have had more. We probably had about half our employees on there. So since the ice storm, we've encouraged people to sign up to have the texting, and now we have probably 80% of them.
Well, I was signed up and still didn't get anything. I don't know what happened there. I got to talk to somebody about that.
No,
I got a text from you, though, so it was even more special.
Well, it was a special message to you from Human Resources why you didn't get the text. I'm saying this is because we need to have a way to constantly communicate to our church members. We don't need to fill up their inbox all the time. We don't need to send out mass texting, but use technology more than just the announcements in a bulletin or the announcements in the worship service. Use technology to keep your people constantly informed to what is going on. How much should we communicate? Let me say this. You never communicate enough
exactly.
in the church. Redundantly, which means over and over again, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. It does mean over and over again. And that would be a good thing for email. I don't think you'd want to redundantly communicate through text. Text needs to be one of those things that churches use for either very, very very important stuff,
right,
or special events, those kind of things.
You know, there were a number of churches in the Nashville area that didn't actually know that they were going to close till the night before or the morning, and it had to do with the ice in the parking lot at Wanton due to additional precipitation. Yeah.
Was one of them. And I found out on, you know how I found out? I found out on Twitter that your church was closed.
Social media. There you go.
I follow the guy that runs all that, you know.
There you go.
So, but so that's how I found out about your church, a couple other churches I'm still on mailing lists from in the area, and they were using that to communicate to their people. So,
very good.
Well, the next area where churches can possibly use technology to help is in the area of virtual staffing.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about staffing, like hiring ministers, but this is virtual assistants and things like that.
Yeah, this is becoming more and more in vogue in what I call the free agent market these days, where we're having more and more persons who are earning a living without having a formal employer. They could have a formal employer, but many of them are just out there as free agents. However, there are some organizations that are bringing these free agents together. One that you are utilizing currently right now is EA Help. Mm-hmm. And what you have done is you've gone to EA Help and you said, I need an assistant, but I don't need a 40-hour assistant. No. What'd you get, 10 hours? Mm-hmm. So you're paying a proportionate amount for the 10 hours. I've been encouraging a pastor I know who is in a church running about 1,200 and has never had an assistant. Yeah. And I was with him, and he was calendaring something, and he was then texting someone else to say, I'm looking at my calendar, and then he was looking on his calendar. I said, why didn't your assistant do that? Oh, I forgot. You don't have an assistant.
I would tell him that he needs to get a virtual assistant.
A virtual assistant would be fantastic, because what happens is if he ever left that church, then the virtual assistant could go with him if the other church approved it. And it could be someone that he has worked with on an ongoing basis that he knows well.
And you even wrote a post on why this may be something churches need to look like that, and we'll link to that in the bottom of the show notes at tomrainer.com.
Good.
The next area for technology in churches is online giving.
Yeah, there are a lot of church leaders that are resisting online giving. I really have some sympathy with the resisting of online giving.
Yeah.
Now you're going to say I'm
no, I understand it.
Because giving is an act of worship.
It is.
And during the offertory time, it probably is not best to have someone going around with a credit card swiper. And so, you know,
I love it.
Somebody's
passing an iPad with a Square app on the top. You just swipe it as you go by and sign it and go.
Yeah. Can I have your 3-digit number on the back as well to make sure we can authenticate? I understand that the offertory time is an act of worship. But here's the reality. I cannot remember the last time I gave in the offertory.
Wow, how dare you?
No, I give, I tithe, I do more than that, but I've done so one of two ways. I used to online give. I don't online give anymore because it kept breaking down.
Those services not provided by Lifeway.
Yeah. And so it just kept on rejecting my card, even though Publix and other places would take it. And so I knew there was a problem there. But when I don't give online, I mail my check in.
Yeah.
My paycheck comes in, and I immediately turn around and write a check
to my
church.
You are what we would call an outlier.
I guess I am.
From mailing it in.
Well, as you have said in previous podcasts, I am what you would call old as well. Because
I think I said that in this podcast.
Maybe so. Because I am almost 60 years old. So I understand those who have a sympathetic leaning toward giving during the time.
As do I.
However, you are going to miss a lot of stewardship opportunities if you do not have online giving. I've talked to a number of church leaders who did not have online giving, and then they instituted it, and they were surprised at how many, what they think, and of course, a financial secretary or someone in a similar position would know this, is new giving or additional giving. And especially if you have it on automatic withdrawal or automatic credit to your credit card, whichever way you want to do, that then helps it become systematic. And like this last weekend or previous weekend, in so many churches across the Nashville area and indeed the Deep South where they were closed, then they continued to see the funds come in through the online giving. So I am a proponent of it. I understand that there is a time for the act of worship, and there seems to be a way to balance both of them.
The next area where churches can utilize technology is in the area of customized curriculum.
Now, imagine this. Imagine you are in a church and the pastor is preaching through the book of Philippians.
Mm-hmm.
Four chapters in the book of Philippians, and say it takes 10 to 12 weeks to cover the entire
yeah.
book. Now, also imagine that corresponding with that, the small group Bible study, Sunday school, whatever the name may be, they're studying the exact same text. And they're a small group. They're having customized applications that refer to that area, to that particular church, and you're able to get all of this information just to match the sermon perfectly.
It'd be fantastic. Where could I get that?
Well, this is a shameless advertisement, I realize, but it does come back to technology. Lifeway has this offering at smallgroup.com that is basically a way for you to design a curriculum and every week get it delivered to you, whether it's matching the pastor's sermon or whether it's just something you want to design yeah. on your own. This is becoming more and more pervasive and prevalent because of why? Technology. There's the database there. There are people there to help. There are people there to allow these type of small groups to take place that match or customize in any way you want to. And to me, this has been a brilliant way. And I understand Lifeway is not the only place.
Yeah.
Just happens to be my favorite.
Yes, mine too.
But customized curriculum is another way that the digital revolution is taking place in our churches, and I think that we will see more and more of that. So, again, I understand I'm doing a shameless advertising here, but smallgroup.com, smallgroup.com
yeah. well, in one
is
of
where
the
you
areas,
get that information.
For customized curriculum, that's been around for a long time. A lot of people do it, but it's cost prohibitive because they were writing the curriculum every week for the sermon.
That's right.
But at smallgroup.com, I know, you know, I've looked at the technology. It's one of the best things we've put out, in my opinion, in a long time technologically. And it's so easy to use where you just go in and there's a library of stuff already made and you can edit, you can change. But it's just fantastic.
You put your own church name on there,
yeah.
your own church logo. It looks like it's original
yeah.
with your church. This, again, is part of the advancement of technology that can help churches. So I'm a big advocate of customized curriculum. And to be fair, we've talked about our sponsor, Vander Blumen.
Yeah.
We've talked about one that's not sponsoring us, EA Help, but is one that can help you to find staff, or particularly virtual staff. And so I think offering a couple of Lifeway resources is okay yeah. as well.
And speaking of that, other one,
yes.
the other way that churches use that technology is through training leaders.
Yeah, again, the training model that we've used in many of our churches is to have a class, have a trainer,
yeah.
sometimes have
try
a video.
Try to get everybody in one spot.
One spot at
yeah.
one time. And in addition to that, they're to go to worship service. In addition to that, they're to go to a small group. In addition to that, they're to go to this ministry. In addition to that, they're to do this mission work. And now you want them to come in for training. Well, the world of technology can bring the training to them.
Yeah.
Lifeway does have a resource. And again, this sounds like Lifeway's moment, but I'm proud of it. It's called ministrygrid.com, ministrygrid.com. And the what happens here is there's literally thousands of training modules that take place, and you design the training specifically for your church. You're able to monitor the progress that people make. You're able to customize it for you. You're able to block out anything that you don't want them to have and bring in anything that you do want to have. And so everybody can be on the same page, and you can send out digitally with this technology. We want you to go through this six-week training process, group leaders, teachers.
Yeah.
And after you're done, we'll see that when you're done, make sure you go through it all, go through the exercises, and the training takes place digitally. So, yeah, I am unashamedly biased of smallgroup.com and ministrygrid.com. One is a source for customizing curriculum, another one to customize training.
And are there any other areas? I mean, I know we've talked a lot. We've talked a lot about these. There's probably a couple more that I'm not thinking of right away. Do you have any that technologically churches can use?
Yeah, for sure. I was in a church in East Tennessee not too long ago, and they had the most incredible announcements take place. I mean, it was on two big screens, and it was this large screens, and it sounded like a professional.
Because it was, probably.
Coming, thanks for visiting. In fact, I had just preached, and that person who was on the screen said, "Thank you for that wonderful sermon, Dr. Rayner." And I'm just really impressed. Very, very articulate, and talked about the church with energy and passion. And I looked at the pastor, and I said, "Gosh, it looks like you have a professional actress in your church." She is.
Yeah.
But she's not in our church.
Yeah.
It is a service that is offered, and it was technologically delivered. They say, here are the announcements we want. They have someone to record it, send it to the church, and they get it by Thursday, and it's ready on Sunday, and it's ready to roll. And at what I understood to be a modest cost, they're able to have professional announcements
each and every Sunday. It creates a wow factor.
It is. And it's something that impressed me. And it was so customized that I thought this woman was talking to me and said, thank you for the great sermon. Of course, I knew that she didn't really mean it because she had not heard my sermon. But, hey, she assumed the best of me.
So I say the same thing when you get done, though.
That's right.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by Vander Blumen Search Group. They are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. That'll do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
We may have a little bit of the overwhelm factor. We've listed so much technology here. So the question may be, if I need to start somewhere, where do I start? Website. Absolutely the website. Get a top-notch website. Then look at social media, but also look at all of these as well. We live in a technological world. That's the mission field. Get on the mission field.
Thanks for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.